Or is that? I think so. Huh?
Well, dear saints, we just want to take a few minutes to fellowship with you, just again about the burden for the care of our children here in the church in Anaheim. I wanted to start out by giving you a little history. When I was in the FTTA in the last century, I actually served with the YP here in Anaheim back in the early 1990s. And this, I don't even know if we have this hall yet. Maybe we did. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it wasn't this nice back then. It was a wedding chapel, this and that. But the work in Anaheim obviously is a very particular work because of the sheer size of the number of young people that are here in this locality, which is larger actually than most churches in North America. Which now is about 125 or so, and with some students, maybe a little larger. you know, when I was being raised in the church life in Huntington Beach, which is where Susie, I think her family touched the church life, the work over the decades has gone through some phases, you know, some phases. Back then, there was a lot of concern for the young people. And so in the 80s, you know, Brother Lee started the Summer School of Truth, you know, back in 1984. And also there was a national YP training in 1987. And back then there was a lot of stirring up of the young people to kind of stir them up. You know, a lot of them were affected by some worldly things. And so sometimes the serving ones were learning, and they took the way of some key serving ones who would serve, and these conferences that would, you know, stir up and turn the young people. And but even with that, we were still losing. Sometimes I would say 2 out of every 3 young people were leaving the church life by the time they were 18. And then in the 90s, when I was serving here, there was actually the thought that the parents should not be serving ones. That was what was actually promoted. That the professional YP serving ones, like the full-timers, Rodrigo, Rachel, and we would just give all 125 to you. Good luck, saints. And just and the parents would, you know, maybe pray, but they were not asked to come to the meetings or to join the conferences or even to serve. For the most part, it was mostly a work by a kind of, almost a kind of clergy lady. So that was that. And still, we were still losing like at least 2 out of every 3. Of course, there was a storm here in Anaheim in the late 80s, and then other things. And then in the early 2000s, actually, my wife and I moved here to serve at DCP. Here in Anaheim, and we also began to serve with the young people. And so then at that time, there was a full-time team here in Anaheim with some serving ones. And there was also still more and more this thought again of a group of serving ones who would serve with very little involvement from the parents. Actually, my Ren was on that team. Am I right? Yeah, yeah. And so, so what happened? So then there was a group of serving ones that would meet every Thursday night and pray in fellowship. Brother Michio was one of them, you know, and some of you may remember John and Arla Campbell were there. They were serving. And then, of course, Brother Dennis. He was moving to UCLA, but he was involved a little bit. And then, huh? Oh, yeah, Sister Lisa was a pillar in that work. And so it was this core group of saints, and you were there sometimes in these coordinating ones, right? Sister Maria, yeah, was there with her son, Eric. And so So then we, you know, we were laboring, and then there was this what developed was what was called a parallel church life, a parallel church life, meaning it was like two church lives. So the parents were in the Chinese speaking, Spanish speaking, Korean speaking, English speaking. They would have their prophesying meetings, their home meetings, and their children would be in a separate church life. With their on Lord's Day, they would have a separate YP meeting. They would have, of course, separate Saturday night meeting. And even one time, back in, at that time, one of the trainees brought a young person to a home meeting, okay? And the parent of this child told them, "What are you doing here? Don't the YP have their own meeting?" And she kicked her own child with the trainee out of the meeting and told her, "Don't go to the YP meeting or go wherever." And so that was the thought, that the parents would meet separately from the children. Even because there had been some fellowship, "Oh, young people, you need to find your home meeting." So one of the trainees brought their own daughter, right? Could you imagine going to a home meeting? And the mom said, "Don't you have your own meeting?" And she basically shepherded the trainee and the YP. Not shepherding, I mean, she kicked them out. And so they left to find another meeting. Could you believe it? This was just 20 years ago. 20 years ago, here in Anaheim. And okay, so that happened. And then the other interesting thing that happened is then we had this summer school of truth for 10 days at Engedi, Camp Engedi. And were you there? For 10 days, and the full-time team that was there, none of these ones. Because what happened was after the trainee, that summer school of truth, a lot of the full-timers quit. They wanted to quit. They quit serving. But it was a glorious time. The young people were fully stirred up. They were on fire, you know, for Jesus. They wanted to take the land, to conquer the world. And that lasted, you know, for about 2 days, and then everyone crashed. But for the 10 days, it was amazing. You know, it was hot. You know, it was like the basketball game on Friday. It was just whoosh. Everyone was on fire. But hopefully in the spirit too. Yeah, they were consecrating their life to the Lord. It was wonderful. It was kind of like back in the 80s. Same thing. They were stirred up, and I believe the Lord did gain something in some of them. But what happened is all the serving ones, the full timers especially, and other ones like myself, were burnt, completely burnt out. Really burnt out. And so especially one mom quit serving full-time right after that and said, "I will never serve with the young people again." She said that. Of course, now she has kids who are growing up, so she's going to have to soon. But anyway, she's in another locality. But that was her. She just swore off, "I will never serve with the young people." And she was out of there. And others soon also, I don't know, oh, Myren, you fell in love, and then you left us too. But anyway, there are others with him. But there are other, huh? Yeah, you brought him back. Good job. Okay. So that whole first generation of the full-time team, they all basically petered out, were gone. And so it was at that time, with those two characteristics of a parallel, separate church life and a work carried out by a few, that led us to, you know, reconsider the work with the elders. And actually, in that fellowship, this came out that back when he was alive, Brother Lee, when he was in the Lord's tables in Anaheim, after the table, and he'd see all the young people walking out. He one time he said this to Brother Peter Harvey. Remember Brother Peter? He said, "Why do they need to leave? You know, they would leave right after the Lord. They would leave to have their own meeting. Why do they need to leave?" That was Brother Lee's own words. Meaning his heart was that they would be part of the church family. But instead, there were two families, you see? Okay, so it was soon after that that now we you know, brothers like Brother Rick and Albert changed in fellowship that the young people would stay in the meetings, you know, for the prophesying. And really we would work to bring them into our small groups meetings on Friday. But most importantly, that the parents would not leave the work with the young people to a clergy or a separate, a parallel group of workers, but that the parents themselves would be burdened to care for the spiritual upbringing of their kids. And so it was in those mid, late, of that first part of the century in the 2000s that here in Anaheim we began to practice that. And actually, that has now spread to many other localities who experience the same thing, so that that the parents themselves would begin to serve with the children on Saturday night meetings, on Friday night meetings, at the Summer School of Truth, and even in the conferences, that you know, if you had a daughter, you would just go to serve with her, or if you had a son, you would serve with the son, starting right away at the sixth grade conference, and then continue. And so I can testify that this has been, in the last 15 or so years, a great blessing to the church in Anaheim to have the parents involved. Now, you know, when we first started doing this, you know, if you're Spanish speaking or Korean speaking or Vietnamese speaking, many of the parents were like, oh, why do we have to do it? We can't even speak the language that well. We don't relate to them. And but a number of the brothers pointed out that, you know, we always go as parents. We go to their piano lessons, right? We go to their soccer games. We go to their volleyball games. We go to their baseball games. We get them tutoring for the best SAT, you know, whatever the language, we all parents are involved with the kids. But for some reason, once they turn sixth grade, the parents had this thought, we'll just turn them over, right, to the full-timers, to the serving ones, and let them take care of our kids. You see this? And that was not a good recipe. So even in Anaheim, we were still losing a lot of our kids. But I think starting from 2010, 2012, there's a shift now where for the most part, at least 60%, and that's still not great, but 60 to 67% of our kids, 2 out of 3, after they graduate from high school, they go on in the church life. Now, that's still in school, that's a D, right? We now get a D plus. Before we were failing, we got an F, 50%, but now at least maybe 60%. But if you think about it, if you have three kids, right? Samuel, Deborah, and Rebecca, and you had to say, okay, in 5 years, I'm gonna say goodbye to one of you. Wouldn't that be, isn't that still sad? Or having to choose between Josiah and
JJ,
or Rebecca and Ruth. Could you imagine? So, of course, on one hand, it's the Lord's mercy, and it's the Lord's sovereignty. But on the other hand, as parents, during this critical period that's right now in junior high, starting from seventh grade right now, you know, they're only with us for another 6 years, and then they're gone. You know, if it weren't for Faithy, our little one, my wife and I, we were looking at you, what would be, you know, life is so boring without the kids, because they're gone, you know what I mean? Like our son, you know, he's on the other side of the country. And our second one, she lives with us. We never see her. She's always out with her friends. And it's like we're empty nesters, you know what I mean? But my point is, these 6 years, from 12 to 17 or 18, for the church kid, in most instances, is the deciding factor as to whether they will go on in the church life or not. Almost without exception. If the church becomes their community, their home, and the place where the kids have their back, right? The serving ones have their back. It's very likely that when they're 18 and they go to college and they can do whatever they want, right? They'll still choose to be in the home meetings and so on and so forth. So this is all just, you know, so we can understand that our labor, as I hope we would all realize, that without your portion, if you yourself are not serving with your kids and involved, don't expect the serving ones to be taking care of them. You know, sometimes we still get these thoughts. Oh, when will certain trainee, and by the way, the trainees, within a couple of years, they'll be gone too. Then who's going to be left? You. Well, he may be gone too. Yeah. but I mean, if you don't, who will be left? It's you. You follow me? So now, You might also say, well, I don't have a good relationship with my rebellious junior high daughter. You know, she already thinks I'm uncool, that I'm not, you know, and she has nothing to do with me. Well, if that's the case, again, I would say, you know, that should cause us to consider a little bit before the Lord, how is our relationship with them, right, in the home, which should be no different from in the meetings, right? Now, if you don't know me, you know, I know I have a serious face. Many people think, oh, James Kwan, he's very stern. And it's actually my wife who seems happy. She's actually the more stern one. I'm more the fun one at home. At least I like to think so. Okay. But my point is, you know, among the two parents, you know, sometimes one of them tends to be more strict and one tends to be a little more, what's the word? Yeah, a little fun. Yeah, fun-loving, carefree. And so there does need to be this balance, right, with our kids to, as I look at you, I can see some of you, yeah, anyway, are more stern, some of you are more fun, right? But how we care for our children in our day-to-day living at home, it means a lot. It means a lot. Whether they can open up to us when they're passing through things, whether we can pray with them, and whether we can, they enjoy, like Brother Lee actually said, we should be friends with our children. And of course, when they're kids, it's a lot easier, right, than when, you know, I took Ayla and Faith to Disneyland the other day, and you know, they just do whatever you want, right? They say, okay, do this, amen. They don't say amen. They just they just do whatever you say, right? But once they get to junior high, right, something flips. And then especially in high school, then, what do you mean I have to clean my room right now? What about, you know, what do you mean I have to go to the meeting, right? What do you mean I have to read the Bible? Then it's a little different, right? And how we react to that, or we see them playing Brawl Stars, you know, on the phone, right? Or the TikTok or social media, or music, you know, listening to hip hop or watching Netflix. How do we relate to them if they're, or if they have a secret boyfriend, right? Or girlfriend, and then you find out, oh, they've been actually, you know, what is our heart like towards them at that point? Do we still love them, right? Or do we, and so that this is a, I say this that we're all in the test, you know, as faithful, you know, this point about being a faithful servant of the Lord. Our kids are entrusted to us for these first 18 years of their life. And of course, they're still with us afterwards, but it's during these critical years from junior high to high school, just from my experience and observation, that for many of them, their spiritual destiny is determined. And so, but by the Lord's mercy, if we're faithful to water the seed, to shepherd them with a loving and forgiving heart of our Father through these critical, regardless of their outward condition. You know, with some, they might be rebellious the whole time until right the end of their senior year. We've seen this. And then they turn. It seems like the whole time they weren't even open. But right at the last semester, there's a breakthrough. Right, because the parents never gave up on their child. So I just wanted to cover these quick 5 points here from this morning revival from the context of serving with our children. And then Rodrigo will fellowship. But I don't know if you remember this, but there's these 5 points about serving faithfully. One was to serve as laboring priests of the gospel, to eventually present them full grown in Christ. Meaning that, again, we should not have the thought that our children and their spiritual development is the church's responsibility. Their development is our responsibility. And so this has implications that, you know, to find times on the way to school as we're driving to maybe, you know, pray over a verse with them, or to, you know, we would do this with our kids when we were driving them to Oxford when they were in junior high. And and it seemed like, you know, my son, he was, he's not the Daniel Kwan of 2024 is very different from the Daniel Kwan of 2017. He was not that open to reading anything or praying anything. But now, you know, he reads a life study a day. He has 7 prayer calls throughout the week with his buddies all over the country. You know, I'll just Zoom. But he'll also call us once a week to pray. And I trace that back to the fact that even in junior high, we began to develop this habit of just praying together. You know, on the way to school, it didn't seem like much, but a little seed. And then, so, you know, even on the way to school, to have a little time with them to pray. Hey, how can I pray for you today? Or you have a project that's due. Let me pray for you. And you pray for me. But to have this view, we're entrusted. We're entrusted. How our kids develop. Brother Nee says the parents almost have a say in determining whether the kids go to heaven or to hell. That was his word. No one has more influence on them than us. Okay. Then number two, this point about giving food at the proper time. At the proper time. Meaning sometimes there's little windows of opportunity where our kids, you know what I mean, with my 2 daughters, most of the time, you know, they can get offended or, but sometimes they'll just open up for 5 minutes, right? Just, and that's the time, you know, to give minister food. And so the whole time you're praying, Lord, when can I say something? When can I get them to read with me? But to find the proper time. And be ready to look for that time, to not to force feed them, and to be age appropriate with them in what we ask them to do. You know, there's this BFA booklet that just came out. I don't know, have we given the parents copies? But there's this 90 days, real small portions with a 1 short verse.
Spiritual
and
nourishment.
Huh?
Spiritual nourishment.
Yeah, have you all seen this one?
It's a yellow book.
We should try to get the parents if we could. Yeah. I think that would be amazing. It's just these short, almost like a half a page, and very sweet, very touching portions. That would be excellent, I think, for junior hires to go over with them. That would be an awesome thing I would highly recommend. Then 3, this matter of the loving and forgiving heart, right? If you're a parent who tends to be strict or, you know what I mean by strict, right? A little stern. This is a word for us that we would never... We would always have the loving and forgiving heart of our Father, right? No matter what they do, how they treat us, they don't appreciate us, but to have that heart for them is so critical that they know that even if you have to discipline them, they still sense you love them, right? If they don't have the sense that we love them when we're punishing them or disciplining them, that, you know, that's not the heart of our Father. We need to look to the Lord that He would reproduce His loving heart in us. Right, and then 4, you know, this point, we should not mistreat our fellow believers. That means even our kids, right, by criticizing, judging, or exposing them. You know, when we lose, you know, one time, Brother Lee said, if we lose our temper when we serve with the young people, we're disqualified. Of course, you know, with our own kids, it's not a small thing that we would lose our temper with them, especially in criticizing, judging, or exposing them. So may the Lord, you know, even work this out in us that, it doesn't mean we don't discipline them, right? But we should, you know, look to the Lord that we would never, condemn them in this kind of way. And then finally, this matter of, you know, our pattern, you know, if we're involved in the world, we render the Lord's gift useless. But, anyway, I would just like to encourage you that, of course, I'm biased because I was serving with the young people, but I can testify those parents who got involved in junior high and continued, you know, I don't mean that you need to come every Saturday to the meeting or that you need to sit next to your daughter or son, but at least once a month, I would encourage you to come to the meeting. Maybe you have a small group, but fellowship, you know, these young people, there are new ones. There are new ones, and we only have a few years with them. I know the days are long, right, sometimes? But the years are so short. The years are so short. I never could imagine my son is about to go to the FTTA. I mean, who would have thought? But the time goes by so fast. And day by day, if we, you know, to pray for them, to labor on them, and to serve with them, to serve with them on Saturday night in the homes, especially. I encourage you, don't leave that to the serving ones, okay? But coordinate with them and fellowship with them, and be involved. Be, just like you're involved in their sports, in their after-school activities, their extracurriculars. This is the most important sport, you know what I mean? This is the most important extracurricular, the church. So, amen. So I'll stop here. And
oh, yeah. Maybe we can just, we're not going to read this now, but it's just for, I'm going to maybe refer to it.
Mm-hmm. Just to follow up on some of the things that Brother James shared, maybe I can add two more things on our history related to our service with the young people. And I will say, includes also the trainees. In some point of our service, we realized we can't continue depending in the young people's work with the trainees. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to give you a couple of reasons why. One is we realize many of them, they're still very young. Yeah. They come from so many different backgrounds. Some are not even, they didn't grow up in the church. They're still learning a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So if you're a parent, you will consider, can I leave this work in their hands? So that was one reason. The other thing is every 4.5 months, we were like in certain direction, and then it just crashed. And then we have to restore the thing, and then they come back. We trust in them again, and 4.5 months later. So we realized the only factor who remains through the whole process, through this whole, now we call it the one piece, is the parents. And the other thing that I want to kind of mention related to our history is even how long our full-timers remain, we saw through the years when the parents were not involved, they last 1 year or. So now, basically, the ones who have to leave the service is because a brother appear and take the sister. But really, because the new serving ones, when they come, they don't enter into something that they have to bear themselves. Now they come and there are parents there. And that gives a lot of, I will say, a lot of stability to our service with the young people in the church in Anaheim. Amen. And it's us. So some of us, we start single, now we got married, we have our own, and now we're parents too. So we're just part of the same thing. So I may not add a lot of points on my portion, but yeah, I just want to mention that, and I have a verse here related to our pattern. This is 1 Corinthians 4. This is related to Timothy. And you know, all of us, we either grew up in the church life and we're a second generation of the first group of brothers who came into the recovery in the U.S. And some of us, we came later, but we just became part of the same group. So in some way, we all are Timothys. So a lot of things now are on our shoulders. We're just bearing things now, including the service with the young people here. So then Paul said to Timothy in this verse, this is 1 Corinthians 4:17, he says, "Because of this, I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church." So the point that I just want to emphasize here is that he mentioned my ways. So when Paul was talking about this one, he didn't say just what I said, even not just my conduct, but actually in the Lord's recovery, there are ways that you can only, and I can tell you as one who did not grow up in the church life, but as one who came in and follow. Actually, if you don't have someone to follow and someone who knows these ways, you will probably come for 1-2 years and then just leave. So when we come to our children, it's not a given that they will see these ways. Right. It's not. So the only way is if someone live in front of them in this way. So Timothy was such that he spent time with Paul until he learned his ways. And Paul can say, he knows my ways. So he saw them so many times that I can even testify that he is walking in the same way that I walked. So I mentioned this because 7th and 8th graders really they don't have, they are like a white sheet. And really anyone can come and put anything in them. For example, I can give you an example. Recently we were sharing it with a group of trainees about marriage. I don't know why we end with that conversation. And as we were sharing, one of them started crying. And we were, oops, what's going on? And then at the end, she just opened up to the whole group and she said, you know, someone put the wrong concept about marriage in me, and it affected all my college years until I came into the training and I hear the right concept. And this is someone who grew up among us, who you will think, oh, they get the right concept. Not necessarily. If someone is not walking in the ways of the Lord, it with them, right? So what my point is that it's not a small thing as parents to get involved, because we're endeavoring to know these ways ourselves, right? And we know that it's our responsibility to lead our children in these ways. So so I just mentioned this. This is it can apply into many ways, but I will say, yeah, it's not a small thing that we are involved. That all what we gain is to pass it on to the next generation. So the second thing that I want to emphasize is something that Brother James shared at the end, and is that on one hand, we are parents, most of us. But when we come to serve with the young people, we are not parents. Because there's only one service in the New Testament, and that is the priesthood. So, and let me give you an example. As Brother James mentioned, when your young people start growing, especially when they get to ninth grade, they change. Doesn't matter how great they are. I start finding out that once they get to ninth grade, they change. And at least for me, it's an exercise. Once I leave my home on a Saturday for the meeting, one thing that I have to leave at home is my parenting. I'm not a parent anymore. And I mention this because part of our service with the young people is in the homes. And I have a couple of burdens here on this matter. When we are in the hall, probably we're fine. You know, our service is very minimum. But when we are in the homes, what we observe is that sometimes we can come as parents. I did that before. And it may be that we read something, and the way we apply it is as a parent. But actually, the priesthood, what we want to always make sure is we bring God to them, and we bring them to God, right? So, I'm going to refer to this portion. So in Ephesians 4:15, and this is more for our perfecting as we serve with them. There's this verse, Ephesians 4:15, and I'm just going to, if we can just read that underlined section. It says, beholding to truth in love. Okay, we can read the whole thing. Yeah, we may grow unto him in all things, who is the head, Christ. So I'm sharing this because we heard that some parents, especially sisters, when we're in the homes, we have only sisters. Probably one of the practical points that we want to emphasize this time is, it's very good that we have both parents here. And actually, we want to encourage, especially with the sister side of the meetings, if the dads, we can, as much as we can, go. We know some of you are already participating. But especially when we are a family with multiple children, you may need to stay home with some of them. So we want to encourage the dads to come if you have a daughter. Because we see that there's still some need, especially with 7 and 8, of some of us as parents, as dads, to go and support the meeting. Okay. And this is also the reason that we're bringing this specific portion is that we also hear that especially sisters, they need a little help. What do we function in that meeting, right? And I think that Brother Lee put it in a very simple way with this verse. You know, he says that on one hand, we want to give God, right? We want to give them the truth. But then the verse said that we need to hold this truth in love. So, and then I'm going to read just a couple of portions. He said, love and truth balance each other. Love makes people foolish, whereas truth makes them clear. A person who merely has love may be hot, yet foolish. And a person who merely has truth may be clear, but yet cold. And then he gave this example about a train. that the truth is like that fire who keeps the train going, but love is the tracks. So then, and then he gave me a very interesting example about, I think Brother James mentioned this, about a young person coming to us, maybe in the meeting, and saying that he or she has a boyfriend. I mean, you read the portion, I was like, what? Probably gave this example. And then he said, brothers, we will tend to do the truth, right? We will say, and also the example is about having a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is an unbeliever. So a little worse, right? And then he said, how are you going to help them? So he says, our tendency is just to tell them the truth, right? You know, you should not joke yourself with an unbeliever. And that for sure is right. But say, but there's no love. Just it's a cold word. It's according to the truth, but we are not holding it in love. So, and then the other extreme is, he said, this is probably more on the sister side. He said, we just love everybody, right? And then he said, this, and the example is about a sister who come to a younger sister and said, the same situation, and said, you know, I know a young brother who is so polite, so nice, but he's not a believer. Actually, and then even she said, and he's better than all the young brothers in the church. So it's very interesting, right? So she's full of love for this young person, but not truth. So his point here is that when we come to shepherd the young people, we have to be balanced. On one hand, we want to give them the truth, but the truth has to be balanced by love. So what, in this example, how we shepherd someone like this? So his example is because we have burdens for a lot of burden for them, and we love them, we don't say anything. We just pray, and then if they ask us, what we do is we lead them to the Lord. We just ask them, have you ever considered this with the Lord? And we just leave it like that. So the more you do this, the more you pray for them like this, eventually they will see the truth because you're holding it in love. So for sure, 7th and 8th graders, hopefully we don't have these kind of problems, but I'm going to apply that to now our situation with them, right? Usually what we observe with parents of 7 and 8 is that we, and I include myself on this, we come up with a lot of expectation. Have you ever had a lot of expectation? We're going to read the whole Bible. We're going to, I don't know, prophesy in every meeting. I'm going to help them to pray. And we come with a lot of points of the truth, and we're holding the truth, right? I want my daughter. So yeah, now I'm learning to do that with my daughter. I did it with my son, and it was different. Now I'm finding my daughter is a different species. So I haven't even found out how to read. You know, I came with her, and I asked, do you want to read with me? And right away say, oh no, I already have a group. And I was like, oh Lord, how are we gonna? So I'm still finding my way. How do I do this? Because we come with a lot of truth, right? We want them to get the truth. But Brother Lee said, love will balance us. Mm-hmm. So what I mean is that when we come to the meetings in the homes, don't forget love. Mm-hmm. Love them first. Love them first. It's like yesterday I was with the 9 and 10 brothers. And when I get to the home, the host wasn't there. It was only me with 10 brothers. Mm. And we were in the living room. It was a little small. So we were all seeing each other. And I was like, and they're all quiet. I was like, oh, Lord. I was like really praying, Lord Jesus. But I remember this word. Don't do anything. Don't scold them or what you don't saying, or just love them. Just love them. So I was just there, oh Lord. I was just really calling. As I calling, a brother came. And actually, he was not any of us. It was a neighbor, a brother, the son of one of the brothers who lived next door. And he just saw us there, and he just decided to come in. And I want to mention this because in the priestly service, if you give yourself, the Lord will always get you back. So at the end, this brother was very useful in the meeting. And actually, at the end, he told me, you know, I stopped meeting for a long time. But I was really touched by their speaking, the young people. So he kind of got even restored by coming. So, well, my point is that also, this matter. We need to learn how do we bring the truth to our children without missing love. Because the emphasis here is we hold this truth that we have, these ways that we have, in love. So the other point that I want to mention, brothers and sisters, related to our service is that, as Brother James mentioned, even when we have a lot of burden for our own children, as we come to serve the young people in Anaheim, we want to have a heart for all of them. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned, as they grow older, it's not that we have anything wrong or not a good relationship. Your own children will ask you to don't come. I started experiencing that with my son. I was like, that will never happen, but it happens. So, and it's hard when your son said, oh, Dad, you don't have to come today. And you don't even know what to do. And in my case, I serve, so he can't really tell me. No. But I realized I need to learn to come. I start praying, Lord, give me someone, because it seems that he, and now he's reading with other brothers, he has his own things. So I had to pray, Lord, who do I come for? So he gave me a brother, a new one. His name is Victor, and now we read the Bible. But my point is that we need to pray that the Lord give us at least one that is not our son or daughter. Mm. And I will say that the best time to do that is when they are in 7 and 8. Because mm-hmm. they are very simple. You don't have to know anything to really get into their heart. So I will just recommend you, brothers and sisters, pray for at least one that is not your son or your daughter. So that that burden grows. And then eventually when they don't want to come, and you to come, you still have a heart to come, because it's not only for them, right? And then the last point that I want to mention, saints, is this matter of finding your kind of your spot in the service. Because maybe not all of us we feel to maybe lead a group of young people in the homes, or speak in the meeting, especially brothers. But through the years, what we observe as the parents get involved more is that some parents really find their spot on. There are some parents that every time that we want to cook, like a barbecue, they are the first ones who come. And you can see that their heart is, it's not for just cooking, but they have one or two that they come for to do that service. And even through the years, what you see is they end serving with those two or three because they grew. Our young people grow. So eventually they become kind of their co-workers cooking or their co-workers in the parking or the co-workers bringing the meal. I will say, even for sisters, you don't have to buy everything. You can bring one or two young people and let them carry the things. So not everything has to happen in the homes or in the hall. As we find our spot in this service, and I just want to encourage you to pray, Lord, where I find myself that I can keep coming. Because what we see is that in time, when some saints don't find themselves in the service, it's very easy to have an exit. It's very easy. So we hope that as you come, you pray, Lord, where should I? When the brothers make a call for some service, is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Is that what keeps me coming? So once we have something, even if you want to stay back, someone will call you. Are you coming? It's our turn for whatever service you volunteered for. So we just want to encourage all of us that because this is a long-term service. It's not just 1 year. It's the next 6 years. And if you have multiple kids, like some of us, it can be the next 20 years. So really, it's like in the church. If you don't find yourself in the service, your church life can be just one meeting a week, right? So we don't want to serve the young people one meeting a week. So we hope that our service will be more meaningful than just coming one meeting a week, right? So that we have a desire to come, even a function to develop. Whatever function we have, we don't know, but as you get involved, you will have something. And then it will be for the benefit of all of our young people in Anaheim. So I'm just going to stop here, but we hope that all of us be encouraged this semester. And we just depend on one another. We're serving together. And this is a long-term service. So probably my last point is something that we just learned as we were serving together with parents is, it's very sweet when there's accountability, that it's not a, and in a way that is not a demand on one another, but that you just, I appreciate very much when the brothers and the sisters, they are available and they just give themselves voluntarily. Because this is a long-term service. That is not a demand. I'm not asking you to come, but I'm afraid, I'm available, I come. I'm not available, I still contact you and say, you know, this week I'm not available. But there's that kind of sweet coordination. And I feel that that's been a blessing with us in the church in Anaheim, that the Lord was able to meet our needs just because we are open. We're open to one another and we're serving. We have a consciousness, we're serving together. So this is not my kids only, your kids only, but we serve the 120 young people in Anaheim. And at least for this last, as Brother James said, 15 years, the service has been very, I don't know. For me, if I can say, it seems that people enjoy it. and it's because of the blessing of have accountability with one another as a priest in the priesthood. So may the Lord continue encouraging us to serve our young generation. Amen.